story of what God has done in her life. And tonight we're going to be looking about what God can do in our lives around this idea of purpose. And as I said earlier, I'm really thankful to be here and honored to be speaking and sharing with you guys. But I want to start with a little bit of fun, a little bit of a question. I kind of like to have a little bit of fun, and I hope you guys do too. My question is, what is this? Let's answer. Yep, correct. Bow and arrow. What do you tend to do with a bow and arrow? Shoot it, correct. Its purpose is to be shot at things, correct? Yeah. And what I want to do is I just want to shoot this into the crowd. And whoever catches it gets a box of favorites. They weren't for Mark, they're for you. Okay? Now, this is a test run because I just want to make sure that the depth of this is all right, yeah? But this is what it's meant to do, isn't it? It's meant to be pulled back, it's meant to be released, it's meant to be shot at something, or in this case, into the crowd, all right? You guys ready? Don't let this hit you because I've given you all the warning in the world that this is coming to you, all right? Good? Good test run? But he's spilt it, so you just dropped a box of favorites, but lucky that was the test run, all right? You guys actually ready now? This is for the chocolates. This way, you want over there? I mean, that's probably fair enough. We'll go over this way because they did drop it, and I want this arrow to be respected. I'm sorry, take it up with this guy in the yellow shirt down the front, all right? He's the one who let you guys down. You ready? Box of chocolates for whoever wins this. Oh, good. I see the kid sneaking in from the side. I like it. Here we go. You ready? Who's got it? No one. Well, technically you got it, mate. You picked it up off the ground. Yours is the box of chocolates. Can we give him a round of applause? Appreciate the desperation and for bringing my arrow back in one piece. Thank you for that. So it's pretty clear that this is a bow and arrow and we use it to shoot things. We know its purpose. We know what it does. Anyone have any idea what this is? To keep food fresh? Close. That's the closest. Any idea? What was that? A frisbee? No, not a frisbee. Correct. Microwave cover. Put it over the pan when the thing's boiling. It's technically a microwave cover. Now, my wife likes to keep our house very clean. Me, not so much. You know, like, I don't want to go into stereotypes, but that's just how our relationship works. She's the clean one. So she likes to have the stovetop clean. She likes to have the splashback clean. She definitely likes to have the microwave clean. So much so that she went out and bought this. Now, if I'm honest, I thought it was like a stingray thing. See that, like the little stingray mouth there? I had no idea what it was. So she came home, she bought it, and I had no idea what it was and didn't ask because I didn't want to look ignorant. When you're in your first couple of years of marriage, you want to look like you know what you're doing, even though you have no clue. So I didn't ask her what it was, and it made its way into one of the drawers in our pantry. And I didn't use it for like 3 or 4 months. So I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it did. I figured it was for a casserole or something like that. And so I just left it there. And it wasn't until one day that I was reheating my favorite meal, butter chicken. Anyone else a butter chicken fan here? Yeah, a few others. Yeah. Butter chicken, my favorite meal. But as any avid butter chicken fan knows, reheating butter chicken in the microwave is messy. And this day, I decided to reheat it while my wife was home without a microwave cover. So, you know what the sounds make? You've got it in the microwave and you can hear it spitting and splattering. You know that moment when the chicken makes that big pop? Yeah, I saw you mouth the word pop as I was saying it. Well done, you're in the zone. Yeah, the chicken makes that big pop. It was that moment that my wife looked over to me in the kitchen from the lounge room and said, "Have you got the microwave cover on that?" And in that moment, I knew I could either tell the truth or I could lie. And I figured I'd tell the truth because I genuinely didn't know what she was talking about, and I figured I couldn't get in trouble for what I didn't know. That's not true, men. When you get married, you can get in trouble for what you didn't know. And I said, what do you mean a microwave cover? And she said, the red thing. What red thing? You know, the red thing that I bought a couple of months ago? That's the microwave cover. I don't know what you're talking about. The red thing. I seriously have no clue what you're talking about. She gets up off the couch. Now I'm in real trouble because she's going to come and show me what the red thing is. So she comes over, she opens up the drawer, she pulls this out and says, "This is the microwave cover." And she said it like that, dropped it, and walked back to the couch. And then I stood in the kitchen and ate my butter chicken by myself. And then I went to my room for an hour and let her cool off. You know, like, you've got to give her space sometimes. But this is something that I had no idea what to do with it. And I couldn't use it because I didn't understand its purpose. So all it did was sit in the kitchen drawer aimlessly, without any use, without any involvement, without any opportunity to ever fulfill its purpose, because I didn't know what it was meant to be used for. Now, I use these two little things just for a little bit of fun, because it helps us bring up this idea that for many of us, we probably sit in one of these two camps. There may be some of you here tonight, and you identify with the microwave cover. Maybe not as like a stage of life thing, but as in you go, you know what? I sometimes wonder what my purpose is. I sometimes feel like I sit at home or sit in my job or sit in my uni course going, is this really what I'm meant to do? Is this really what I was made for? What is my purpose? I don't know. I can't quite figure it out. I wish someone would tell me. And it's difficult when we don't know our purpose because there's a sense of sorrow in that. You can tend to look around at the people who are living their lives and what seems to be a life full of purpose, full of meaning, full of joy and satisfaction, while you feel like you're stuck in a dead-end job, a pointless university degree, relationships that you don't feel like give any sense of life to you or to who you are. And life feels like it lacks any sense of purpose. It's a difficult place to be when you feel like that. But some of you here tonight, you probably identify with the bow and arrow. You feel like, you know what, I've already got my purpose all figured out. You feel like you know what you're doing. You feel like you know why you do it. And you enjoy it. You get some sense of satisfaction and life out of it. Maybe for you, you've found a sense of purpose in your career, whether that's as like a plumber, an accountant, just a salesperson at Optus or Telstra, you know, but whatever it is, you feel like you've found a sense of purpose in that. Or maybe in a relationship. You know, when I got married, I felt a whole new sense of purpose, but maybe you have a great sense of purpose in a relationship that you have with a cousin or someone you mentor or someone that you have an influence over. You find a great sense of purpose and life in that. Maybe for others of you, it's certain causes that give you a sense of purpose and life. You know, I've been reflecting recently on all of this like climate change strike stuff that's been happening in Brisbane. My wife works in the city, and so she's been dealing with all of these interruptions. And while it's been a real pain for her, you could argue that these people feel like they've found their purpose. They're trying to make change. It's something that they care about. They're hoping to be making a difference in the world. You could argue about how they're going about doing it, but they feel like they've got a sense of purpose. But while we may be sitting in this camp feeling like we have a sense of purpose, the question still remains, is this purpose permanent? I don't know about you, but I've changed jobs a couple of different times, even changed, you know, living situations, moved interstate, lost friends, gained friends, been interested in things and then become non-interested in things. And, you know, you even have to ask the question, what are these people who are fighting for climate change going to do when the climate emergency is over? What's their purpose going to be in then? So while we all probably find ourselves either feeling like we lack purpose, or at the moment we've found purpose, the question still remains, have you found a permanent purpose? One that isn't going to change, one that is made exactly for who you are, something that's going to bring life and joy and satisfaction no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances that you find yourself in. Will you find a real purpose? And tonight what I want to do is I want to look at the story of someone in the Bible who I think helps us understand how to find real purpose and helps us understand what real purpose looks like. And to do that, we're going to look at the story of a guy named Saul/Paul. Now, to give you a little bit of background, that's because in this story, he's originally called Saul, but he's most famously known as Paul, one of those guys who had a name change because apparently he didn't like his original one. But this guy is a really important and influential character person, living person in the Bible. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at this chapter in the book of Acts. Now, Acts tells of all the stories of what happened after Jesus died and what happened in the early church. And in particular, we're going to look at chapter 9, and we're going to look at a section, verses 1 to 22. Now, I'm not going to read it all because it's a long read, but I am going to paraphrase kind of what happens in this section for you guys. So you get a bit of an idea of what happens. We kind of get the highlight reel and get where we need to go a little bit quicker. But in Acts chapter 9, what we see is it starts with this guy named Saul. Now, for the rest of this message, I'm just going to call him Paul so we're not getting confused, okay? Yeah, Paul. So we got this guy named Paul who has decided that actually he is passionate. His purpose in life is to eradicate Christians. See, Paul was someone who was a very influential religious figure in his day, someone who was very passionate about his religion, and someone who really cared about the purity of it. Now, Christians had come in and were kind of distorting what was happening and saying all of these things that he didn't believe were true and turning all these people away, and he had an issue with it. So Paul thought, what better way to prove how much I care about my beliefs than to kill all those people who don't agree with me? You know, like, what better way to show my co-workers how passionate I am about this? And so Paul was quite purposeful. He actually went to some of the highest religious leaders and said, I would like to have your permission to chase down the Christians and to arrest them and detain them. That was Paul's purpose. He got a letter of approval and they sent him out on his way. And so as Paul goes to fulfill this mission, to fulfill his purpose, what he has decided to be his purpose, he's on the road to Damascus and this crazy encounter happens. A bright light appears and Jesus begins to speak to him. And Jesus says to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Which really is, why are you attacking that which I stand for? You know, the Christians and the church being built. And in all of this, they have a bit of a discourse, but at the end of it, Paul comes away without his sight. He's gone blind. And the weirdest part is the other guys he was with didn't see what happened. They could hear the voice, but couldn't see anything. So Paul is all of a sudden blind, and these guys take him to the town that they were going to. Paul remains there for 3 days, just chilling out because he can't really see anything, and he's trying to come to terms with that reality. But in the midst of all of this, we have a cut scene. Take Paul, leave him here, cut scene, and now we've gone over to this guy called Ananias. Now, Ananias is one of the early Christians. He's a believer in Jesus, passionate about Jesus, and he is spending some time with God, you know, maybe his daily morning devotional time, just a little bit of quiet time with God. And in the midst of that, God gives him a vision. And not necessarily a super nice one, because God gives him a vision of him going to see Paul and praying for Paul. Now, Ananias is noticeably and understandably shaken because he knows and has heard that Paul is trying to capture and kill the Christians. And now God is telling him to go to Paul. And he's thinking, what sort of sick joke is this, God? You know, like, what's about to happen? Why are you making me do this when this guy's going to capture me and kill me? But God, interestingly, says this. I just want to highlight this one verse because it's really important for us to get it right. The Lord says to Ananias, after Ananias objects, he says this. He said, Ananias, go. This man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. See, God has a very particular purpose for Paul. And so Ananias, knowing his place, decides to go and do God's will. So he goes, he finds Paul, he prays for Paul. Paul receives his sight and gets filled with the Holy Spirit. But what I want to focus on is just that verse 15 for a second. The whole thing, go, this man Paul is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, to their kings, and to the people of Israel. Because just in this verse, we learn something very, very important about the idea of purpose. See, each of us here could, within our own selves, I believe, try and generate some sense of purpose for our own lives, just like Paul has. Paul's tried to generate some sense of meaning and value, a project to work on for his life. But what we see in this passage is that God has a purpose for Paul's life too. And the principle that we learn in this is this, that God's purpose for us is actually our true purpose. God's purpose for us is actually our true purpose. As I said, Paul generated his own idea for what he was going to do with his life, for what he was going to devote his time and energy to what thing he was going to look to bring satisfaction and meaning from. That was what Paul was going to do. He was going to take down the Christians. He was going to bring them all out. That was Paul's purpose. But God had a very, very different purpose. See, Paul wanted this, but God didn't. God had a whole different idea. And in fact, what we see is that Paul actually, once he decides to devote his self to this new life, goes and learns and grows and has his life changed. He goes and he is able to learn from the other disciples, to see these incredible things happen. And Paul goes out and starts to speak to other people. He starts to tell them the good news of Jesus and what Jesus has done for him. And in all of that, Paul starts to live out his true purpose. Paul starts to find it. And we see in Paul's life that actually this incredible thing happens. See, Paul has been well known and renowned for his incredible religious devotion. He's highly regarded in the Jewish world that he lives in, and he writes this letter to the Philippians. And in chapter 3 of that book, that letter, he just says this. He says, I had all of these things. I was highly regarded. I was a great member of my religious order. I honored all of the laws. I was the guy. I had it all. I looked like I was fulfilling my purpose. And in verse 8, he says this to the Philippians, though. He says this. He says, indeed, though, I count everything. That's right. All of the renown, all of the success, all of the honor that he'd ever received from these people for what he was doing to fulfill his purpose as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, he compares his old purpose to his new purpose, and he realizes that God's purpose for his life trumps his purpose for his life. That actually there's no comparison, that the new purpose that God has given him was the purpose that he was always meant to have. It was his true purpose. Now, it's easy for us to discredit that because you're going, oh, this is a book, this is the Bible, this happened thousands of years ago. I can understand that. But this is also my story. And chances are, for some of you here in this room, you might have been doing the same thing. It's potentially your story too. You had your own purpose. God intervened and gave you a new purpose. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're not really sure about the validity of Paul's story or the story that I'm about to tell about my life, talk to those people who invited you. Ask them about how God gave them a new purpose and how it has changed their life. Because for me, when I was 17 years old, I really wanted to be an elite athlete. Like, that was kind of my goal. That was my dream. I was playing AFL. I was playing cricket. I was playing touch footy, I was playing hockey, I was playing everything. And by the time you get to 17, though, if you haven't really made any rep squads, you're not really going to make it. And obviously, you can see where the story ends by where I'm standing right now. You know, like, I didn't make the rep teams, okay? Thanks for bringing it up. No, that was me. It's my fault. But I didn't make the rep team, so I realized at 17, I need to have a different plan and purpose for my life. I'm not going to get to be an elite athlete myself. I'm not going to have people try and collect cards about me or talk about how they wish they could play footy like me. But what could I do next? What would be the next best thing? And I thought, you know what? I should be a sports physiotherapist. I want to be that guy that, you know, when players have injuries, they're like, they were taken to world-renowned sports physiotherapist Ben Dayton, who was able to fix their, like, whatever issue it was because I was the guy. You know, I'd be the guy quoted in the thing. Normally, it's a 4 to 6 month injury, but with this new surgery that I created myself, it will be 1 week. You know, like, I wanted to be that guy. That was my purpose. And so I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to be so good as a physiotherapist. I'm going to get to massage so many elite athletes. It's going to be amazing. Their calves, their quads, the list goes on. But I thought, this is what I'm going to do. So I devoted myself to it. I did all of the subjects I needed to do in year 11 and 12. I studied really hard. I got obsessed with fitness. I tried to learn as much as I could. I remember one time sitting with my mentor from church. So we were meant to be talking about Jesus stuff, and I spent like an hour and 40 minutes just talking about fitness stuff and about physiotherapy and how the body works and all this stuff that I was learning. I thought, this is what I was made to do. This is what I want to do. Anyway, I get to the end of year 12. Apparently, I'm dumber than I thought I was. I didn't get the marks that I needed. Didn't get into the options that I wanted. You know, like, to be a physio, you kind of got to get really high, and I didn't get anywhere close. So that was a real, like, humbling moment. But it also threw me. I didn't know what to do. What direction was I going to go? How was I going to live my life? And I decided, like any good person does, to spend a year living in Melbourne, because I'm originally from Victoria, with my best mate doing Bible college. Now, I was only doing Bible college because he was doing Bible college, and I only moved to Melbourne because he was moving to Melbourne, and his parents had a house that we could rent in for like super cheap. So I was like, sweet, let's do that. But while I was there, about 6 months in, I had an encounter with God that completely changed my life. I don't know how to describe it to you, and you know, for some of you in the room, it'd sound crazy, and it is. I was just standing there at a camp, and some guy came up and prayed for me. And he just started praying, and all of a sudden, it was like God was standing there in front of me, but also like hugging me, but also like encouraging me and telling me off all at the same time. It was this weird feeling of emotions that I've never felt before, so much so that I started to cry. And so, you know, I cry once every quarter. That's kind of like my MO, you know? But I was bawling my eyes out, like really bawled my eyes out, so much so that I fell down on the ground, laid down, and just started weeping. But like not nice weeping, like weeping. You know, like snot everywhere weeping. So much so that the guy praying for me was confused by what happened. Left me. Just walked off. So, I don't know what happened. It wasn't me. You know, like he was like absolving himself of whatever was going on. He's like, not me, wash my hands of this. You know, Bible reference to Jesus, you know, like, wash my hands. It's not me. I'm lying there for like 10, 15 minutes, bawling my eyes out. No idea really why, but just like overwhelmed by the presence of God in my life. Anyway, I stop. I sit up. And all of a sudden, I feel real good, like really good. I feel really, really happy. Happier than I've ever felt before or ever felt since. It was off the charts. So I'm in a room. Everyone else is getting prayed for. Now, Christians in the room, you know that when people are getting prayed for, it's somber, it's serious, it's silence, quiet, you know? People are getting prayed for. For non-Christians, that's kind of just what happens. Like, it's weird, I don't know why, but we just, God can hear us even if people are laughing, but we just get real weird about like, shh, let's pray. Anyway, everyone's doing that, and I'm sitting at the back of the room laughing. But again, not just like, ha 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 ha, like deep, ha ha ha, like laughing, laughing. But again, 10 minutes. People are shushing me, shh, praying. Come on, this is insensitive. People are walking out to the bathroom. I'm laughing at them. They're like, what's going on? Doing the whole fly check. Like, is there something on my clothes? Like, have I got something on my face? And, you know, they've been crying. So they're thinking, I'm laughing at them crying. You know, so I look like a real jerk. But this is what's going on. I can't control it. I have no idea what happens. That all finishes. We walk out of the room and people go on to me, Ben, that was so rude, you laughing while we're praying. But something looks different about you. You seem different now. Everything seems to have changed. What's going on? Your eyes look lighter. You look like a weight's been lifted off you. All of these things. And I was like, I don't know, but I feel really good. Anyway, fast forward a couple of months after that, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do after this year of Bible college. It was just a gap year program, literally a 12-month thing, and I'd kind of failed the second half of the year. I wasn't a good student, probably why I didn't get into my physio course. But I just didn't know what to do. So I was going home to Ballarat, where I was from. And in November, my old youth pastor called me up and he said, hey, Ben, got an internship for you. Would you like to be involved? You know, working a day a week at the church will pay you. So my ears pricked up. And you can study and you can get Centrelink for studying full time. And I was like, sweet, Centrelink and a 1 day a week job. That sounds fantastic. So I said yes, with again the idea that I'll figure out what I'm going to do to try and get into this physio course thing. Like maybe I'll have to do an entry level program, maybe I'll have to just study a little bit more. I'll figure it out while I do this. But I never looked any further for that physio course. Because about 3 or 4 months in, I realized that this was what I was made to do. That this was my purpose. That as much as I wanted to be a physio, I would definitely earn more coin being a physio. I definitely would meet some more elite athletes if I was that sports physio. There'd be a whole lot of cool things that would happen, but none of it would have satisfied me the way that this does. You know, I still remember the first time I got to pray with a teenager as they made the decision to follow Jesus. I remember just going home being like, that is it. That is what I'm made for. That is what I want to see happen every single day of my life if I could. Like, that's the dream for me. I found my purpose. But it was God's purpose for me, not my purpose for me. And see, my purpose is actually found in God's purpose for me. And the truth is, the exact same thing is true of you, that your purpose is actually found in God's purpose for you. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, there's this verse, and it sums up everything that I'm trying to say right now to you perfectly. It says this, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The verse tells us this truth, that actually you were created on purpose, for a purpose. You were created on purpose and for a purpose. That you weren't an accident, no matter what your parents tell you, you weren't an accident. You were created on purpose, for a purpose. And even if you haven't figured out what that purpose is right now, there is a purpose for you. But it's God's purpose for you that you need to find. That's what you're looking for. Because all of you have a purpose. All of you have some sense of meaning and intentionality to your life. And just a specific thing, things that only you can do that God wants you to do. It says that He's prepared those works in advance for us. God has things that He is asking you and inviting you to step into when He gives you a purpose that only you can do. That were made just for you, that will give you this satisfaction and joy that it just won't quite give anyone else, because it was made for you. It's your purpose. But your true purpose is found in God's purpose. And when I'm talking about this idea of purpose, I really want to just, when I feel like, particularly when we're speaking to young adults, when I'm talking about purpose, I'm not talking about your career. Let me try and phrase it a little bit differently, because you can get it confused when I start talking about being a pastor and purpose, and you go, oh yeah, that's obviously God's purpose because you're a pastor. But think about a different example. Say a comedian, right? Love comedians. They make us laugh. That's always a lot of fun. I like laughing. But a comedian, right? You could go up to them and you could say to them, oh man, you can tell that your purpose was always to be a comedian. You're just so, so funny. It's just what you were made to do. That's your purpose. Be a comedian. But what the comedian might respond back to you with is this. No, I'm not made to be a comedian. I'm made to make people happy. That's my purpose. I feel like my purpose is to make people happy. And yeah, I do that when I do my 1 hour comedy show, but I can also do that when I'm not on stage. I can still live my purpose out then. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about purpose. It's not what your career is. It's not what your relationship status is. It's not what caused you behind. It's what drives how you live. That's your purpose. What drives how you live? And see, I realized that when God called me to be a pastor, it wasn't about standing up on stage. It wasn't about my meetings or praying with people. I realized that my purpose was to know God and make Him known. That's my purpose. And I can do that when I'm standing on stage right here at church. I can do that when I go to the shops. I can do that when I'm texting my friends. I can do that when I'm watching the footy at the Gabba and the Hawks are beating the Brisbane Lions next year, July the 20th, I think it is. I can do that there too, you know? Because my purpose isn't bound to my career, to my relationships, to my cause, and your purpose isn't either. See, whatever it is that you end up doing with your time, God has a purpose for you. And we know what God's purpose for you is by what God's purpose is for Himself. Because God's inviting you to join His eternal purpose. That's where your true purpose will be. Your true purpose will be in God's eternal purpose. And we know what God's purpose is because we see it in Jesus. See, Jesus, we believe, is God who came to be on earth, God with flesh on. Jesus says, anyone who sees me sees the Father. Anyone who sees Jesus sees God. And so when we look at Jesus, we can understand God's purpose. And Jesus decided to get up out of heaven and come down to earth to die for each and every single one of us. Why? Because He wanted to be in relationship with you. He wanted you to know Him. And so Jesus did. He lived and he died. He paid the penalty for our sins so that we could be with him. And he rose again so that we could live the new life, the true purpose that he has made available to us. That was Jesus' purpose, and that is God's purpose still today. See, maybe you are here and you've already accepted Jesus into your life. Well, fantastic. You've already received a part of God's purpose for you, that first part, to know him. But the second part of that purpose is that Jesus came to make God known to others. He put flesh on so that we could see him, experience him. And so the other part of your purpose is to not just know God, but to make him known. I actually believe that's the call of everyone who calls himself a Christian. And it's a purpose that doesn't change. It's a purpose that is permanent and is fixed. You will permanently, forevermore, as you follow Jesus, have a purpose to know him and make him known. And the best part about that is, as I said, it doesn't change for me wherever I am, and it doesn't change for you. You might start your life, a working life as a plumber, or you might start as an accountant, and you decide you want to change degrees because you're like, you know what, Ben talked about being a physio, and I kind of like that idea. I'm going to be a physio now too. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate what you said. You've inspired me. And you could change careers, but your purpose remains the same. You could be fired from your job, and yet you haven't lost your purpose. You can have the best friends in the world, and your purpose still remains. You can feel like no one even cares about you at all, and yet your purpose still remains. It doesn't matter what situations or circumstances are going on in your life. If you choose to give your life to Jesus, you choose to also inherit your true purpose, to know him and to make him known. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, you still will have a purpose. You'll always have a purpose. And it's a purpose that will bring you great joy and great satisfaction. I don't know if any of you here have ever had the privilege of seeing someone give their life to Jesus. Someone that you know, someone that you love, someone that you care about, but there is something uniquely special about that moment. And I believe it's because that's the moment where you are able to join with God in both fulfilling your purpose and his purpose. It's a special moment. I've only had that privilege a couple of times with some people who are really close to me, but it's always a special moment. And we get that opportunity as a church community. You guys are doing it right now. You got this festival of good news, which I love. I love that sound. I just am like, and I love the lights. I love all of that. It's great. I think it's the perfect way to summarize what is the gospel. It's a festival. It's joyous. It says that, you know, God will celebrate in heaven, throw a party for one person who comes back to him. One. Throw a party. That's the festival of good news right there. And we, as the church, have the opportunity to do that. You guys are stepping out, making it happen by doing something just as simple as this. But we have a message of hope because we have a purpose to give people, a permanent purpose, their true purpose. And we live in a world that is hungry and hurting for purpose. You know, my middle brother Sam isn't necessarily walking with Jesus at the moment, and one of his constant battles is his sense of purpose. He doesn't know what to do with his life. He doesn't know what's going on or why he's here or what's happening with his friendships or what happens when his job changes or all these sort of things. And I pray for him all the time, and I just literally want to go, Sam, I know your purpose. It's here, man. It's right here. I want to give you that purpose that you're so hungry for, that you know you need. It's what you were made for. It's your true purpose, man. You find such joy and satisfaction and permanency in this. And that's what you guys have when you go out into the world. You have that same purpose and you carry that same hope for people in need, people who are feeling like they're a microwave cover. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know what purpose I serve. I wish someone would tell me. And that's us. We get to go and carry that purpose out and live that purpose and give people the opportunity to experience their true purpose. That's what we're called to do. And that's when we as a church live out our true purpose too. To go and help people know Jesus and make him known. And what I want to do is as we finish, is I actually recognize that there's some people here tonight who you actually feel like, I need that purpose in my life right now. You recognize whether you feel like you don't know your purpose, you're the microwave cover, you're like, I got no idea why I'm here or what I'm doing. I'm working some dead-end job that I hate with no idea what to do from here. I need a sense of purpose. I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to give you that purpose in a moment. But there also may be some of you here who you feel like, I thought I had my purpose figured out. I thought I knew exactly what I was here for. I thought I figured out why I existed. But actually, now that you've talked about this, I feel like this is just my purpose for this season. I feel like I've chopped and changed all the time, and I'm sure that it'll happen again. What I want is a permanent purpose. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. And all that's going to involve, just to demystify it for you, because I know that sounds like a really big thing, you're like, what's about to happen, is all that's going to happen is I'm going to ask everyone in this place to close their eyes, bow their head, and we just do that to keep this private and keep this personal and to keep this between us and God, but also to help us focus on what's happening. And when we do that, I'm going to ask that if there's anyone in this room who would like the true permanent purpose that God has for us in Jesus and through Jesus, to just raise their hand where they are. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask you in a moment to raise your hand. And all you're doing when you do that is you're just saying, I identify with that. I want that. That's kind of something that I feel like, yes, I want to be involved in. It's kind of like that test when, you know, someone's like, hey, does anyone here like butter chicken like I did earlier? And people are like, yes, I do. All you're doing is putting up your hand to say, I identify with that. Nothing super special or weird is going to happen. Like, you're not going to put your hand up and all of the Christians are going to like come over and be like, ooh, the hand is up. Like, there's nothing weird, okay? I just want to clarify that. Sometimes we don't make this clear. Nothing weird. Eyes are going to be closed. You're just going to put your hand up. I'm going to see it so that I can pray for you. But nothing crazy or weird is going to happen. Hopefully you'll feel a sense of love and joy as Jesus just comes and moves in your heart. It's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be embarrassing. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. If you're looking for a true and permanent purpose in Jesus, in a moment I'm going to get everyone to close their eyes, bow their heads, and you're just going to get the opportunity to raise your hand. And just keep it raised, and then we're going to pray together at the end. Just a simple prayer that I'll get everyone to repeat, so it's not you just muttering it out loud and everyone knows where you are and who you are, okay? I'm going to keep it as easy and as safe as possible for you all. So, can I get you guys here tonight to just close your eyes and bow your heads? And if you are here tonight and you go, you know what, Ben, I do want that true and permanent purpose that you were talking about. Whether that's because you've been here and you feel like, I have no purpose. I feel like the microwave cover. I don't know why I'm here or what I'm doing. Or whether it's because you feel like you've been changing your purpose all the time because you just don't have that permanent purpose that you can just live from no matter where you are in your life. And you know that you want the true and permanent purpose that Jesus has made available to us. If that's you, would you just raise your hand where you are right now? Nice and high. That's great. Anyone else? We've got a couple of hands. Keep them nice and high so I can see them. It's just you and me right now. If that's you, you know you need that purpose that Jesus makes available to us. Just raise your hand where you are. Just going to give one more opportunity. Some of you may just be holding back a little bit, feeling a little bit nervous about it all. But if that's you, can you just raise your hand where you are? Just go for it. There's nothing like stepping into God's purpose for you. Amazing. Great. Well, those people who put their hands up, can you put them down now? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get all of us together because we're going to do this with those people who have just put their hand up. We're going to pray with them. So I'm going to pray a sentence and then you guys are going to follow, okay? So kind of like repeat after me. So let's do a little practice, all right? Let's go for it. Dear Jesus, perfect, let's keep going. I'm sorry for how I lived my life. I've been lacking purpose. And I've been trying to make it up on my own. I'm sorry for the times it's led me astray. for the times it's led me away from you. But Jesus, I want a true purpose. I want a permanent purpose. And I know it's found in you. Jesus, I give you my life. Will you give me my true purpose? In your name, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Well, can we put our hands